Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos made waves last week when she announced the Trump administration, would be reexamining current policies on how colleges handle allegations of sexual misconduct.
The truth is that the system established by the prior administration has failed too many students. Survivors, victims of a lack of due process, and campus administrators have all told me that the current approach does a disservice to everyone involved. That's why we must do better, because the current approach isn't working.
But isn't working for whom? That's what I wonder. So joining us now is Lee Burdett Williams. She's the former dean of students at Wheaton College in Norton, Massachusetts. And she joins us today from Vermont Public Radio. Lee Burdett Williams, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us in the studio is Colby Bruno. She's a senior legal counsel at the Victims' Rights Law Center in Boston. Colby Bruno, it's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So let me start first by asking both of you. I mean, obviously, there's been continuously a great deal of discussion on how to best handle the issue of sexual assault on college campuses, renewed now because the education secretary is stepping in saying the current system isn't working. So my first question to both of you, do you agree or disagree with her? Lee Burdett Williams, let me just start with you. Is the current system working?
No, not as well as it needs to work for such an important issue.
And why do you say that?
Well, I think that there are a number of contradictions and inconsistencies in the expectations of the federal government for the way that colleges respond to sexual assault allegations on campus. But aside from that, I think that the issue of sexual assault on campus is enormously complex. And I think the more we try to fit it into a process, a very mechanical process, the more we'll be frustrated by those complexities, kind of the human condition that students bring to their interactions with one another.
Okay, so I should just remind folks that you are the former dean of students at Wheaton College, so you probably had to deal with this issue quite a bit. But Colby Bruno, same question to you. Do you think the current system is or isn't working?
I think the current system is working with reservations. I think that the way that we look at rape and sexual assault on campus cannot be too linear in that we can't just look at the conduct process, or we can't just look at the Dear Colleague letter or the 2001 sexual harassment guidance as conduct, right? Because it's not only about the ramifications if you violate a code of conduct. It's about prevention, education, training. And so there's so much richness to all of these guidances that I think we do lose it when we focus exclusively on conduct procedure.
Okay. So there's a lot to dig in with both of you, but the Dear Colleague letter, Colby, remind people what that is.
So in 2011, the Obama administration published a guidance which went out to every single president of every single university in the United States. It was intended to be, from what I understand, a clarification, further guidance on a 2001 sexual harassment guidance document.
Okay. So here's what I want to do. I want to step back here for a second, because for people who aren't deeply enmeshed in this issue, things might get kind of confusing, because there is guidance from the federal government. There are systems on college campuses that may vary from campus to campus. So let's step back this way and sort of set the table here, because Secretary DeVos herself, in her speech, you know, she described her view of what the current process generally is on a lot of campuses to handle allegations of sexual assault. And, you know, in her speech, she noted that students who have been victimized, she said, are often urged to keep quiet or even discouraged at all from reporting the assault at all. And then that wasn't right. And then she said that if it is reported, things might go through an administrative process at the college. And here's how DeVos described what that process is.
If there is a hearing, both the survivor and the accused may or may not be allowed legal representation. Whatever evidence is presented may or may not be shown to all parties. Whatever witnesses, if allowed to be called, may or may not be cross-examined. And Washington dictated that schools must use the lowest standard of proof. And now this campus official, who may or may not have any legal training in adjudicating sexual misconduct, is expected to render a judgment that changes the direction of both students' lives. The right to appeal may or may not be available to either party, and no one is permitted to talk about what went on behind closed doors. It's no wonder so many call these proceedings kangaroo courts.
That's the Education Secretary Betsy DeVos describing what she believes is the process at many colleges and universities in handling allegations of sexual assault. Colby Bruno, you're giving me a face. You don't like that description.
I just think that the secretary has a fundamental misunderstanding of what the Department of Education and the Office for Civil Rights does. Because if she is concerned with the enforcement that schools are not keeping up their end of the bargain as it relates to the compliance of Title IX, then the Department of Education is the body that enforcement has to come from. So if all of these colleges and universities are not complying with Title IX, pre-Dear Colleague or post-Dear Colleague, I don't care, it's still Title IX, then it's the Department of Education's responsibility to enforce that and to find violations and to provide additional guidance so other schools can follow that.
Okay. So you said a hint of that earlier, that you see it's the federal government that's not doing its job to enforce guidelines that are already in place.
Enforce guidelines that are already in place and understand what guidance is in place, right? So she talks about people don't have training.
Yeah.
That's a clear violation of Title IX. Title IX requires that decision makers have training, and the CLEARI Act requires annual training.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that in that list that sounds very, I guess, inflated to me, mm-hmm. because the way that Title IX works is it does require each of these things. So it does require equity. So if there is a hearing, there should be a hearing, and if there's not, then it's a violation of Title IX.
So, Lee Burdett Williams, I haven't forgotten about you. Let me turn back to you again, your former dean of students at Wheaton College. React to what Colby's saying, that she believes that all the pieces are in place. It's just a matter of enforcing the guidelines that are already there, and we should have a system that would work on college campuses.
Right. Well, I'll start the same way that Colby did. I think that Secretary DeVos has a fundamental misunderstanding of how things work on a college campus. And that, for me, has always been a major conflict between the expectations of federal expectations and institutional realities. And I think what's frustrating, one of the many things that's frustrating about the direction and instruction and guidance that schools get from the Office of Civil Rights, the Department of Education, the Department of Justice at times, whether it's through guidance in a Dear Colleague letter or the many communications they send out to try and explain something like the Dear Colleague letter, there's not a lot of input coming from those of us on college campuses who are trying to deal with the reality of student interactions and a conduct process. Even listening to that segment of the secretary's speech, I'm really struck by how she is using the language of the criminal justice system,
mm-hmm.
and that's not the language that we try to operate with on college campuses.
Can I just jump in here? Because to that point, I wonder, most of the people who have to go through this process, I presume, are 18 or and above.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we even asking colleges to be the adjudicators in this case? Like, why isn't it just directly sent to local law enforcement?
That's a great question, and it's one that is asked over and over again, and so I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to answer it. When a student comes to the dean's office or the Office of Student Conduct or campus safety and makes an allegation that she or he was sexually assaulted, we could, if we listened to our critics, say, you know, we're not really equipped to do anything with that. You need to go to the police and make a complaint there. And we're not going to touch this because it's really not in our wheelhouse. But the reality is that some of those allegations the police would not go very far with, or a district attorney's office would not choose to bring charges against the alleged assaulter.
Is it because of different standards when we turn to the external criminal justice system?
Right. So if we look at the definition of sexual assault and sexual harassment, we have on our campuses kind of developed such an overbroad definition of what those things may be that the police would look at a narrower definition, and the police will take on those cases. But the other thing that you have to consider is the timing. So under Title IX, we are expected to respond to any concerns about a hostile environment on campus immediately. If a student alleges that she or he was sexually assaulted and says that they feel unsafe on the campus with the alleged assaulter also there, we have to act almost immediately to respond to that concern.
Yeah.
And that might mean removing the alleged assaulter from campus without the process even beginning. Or very early in the process. And that's one of the complaints that a lot of alleged assaulters have.
Well, if I can just jump in here, because I want to get Colby Bruno's take on this as well. So I hear that at least two, if not more, potent reasons why these things are handled on campus. But Colby, what's your take on this?
So I think at the basic fundamental pieces of Title IX, it's equity in education. So when one individual is subject to sexual harassment, that individual is denied the access to the benefits of having an education on that college or university. And that could mean one incident of rape, or it could mean multiple incidents of sexual harassment. And so Title IX was supposed to be formulated so that every single person had equal access to that benefit of the college. But what was happening was people were being raped, disproportionately women were being raped, and there were health consequences, economic consequences, educational consequences.
Life consequences
For these victims. And it wasn't turning anything upside down. It just, there was a clarification and, you know, and there was a guidance. And I absolutely agree with Lee about the timing of it. You know, I think what people don't often understand is that criminal cases can take 4-5 years just sitting there. Now, you're at college, and college usually takes just 4 years. So by the time something is ever resolved, you are done with college. So you need to figure out, or the college needs to figure out, how you as a victim can have equal access to your education, just like the accused has access to his or her education.
So I want to know, is there a better way? Because Lee Burdette Williams, you were saying a little while ago that you have many concerns with the current system. And the guidance provided by the federal government in terms of how colleges should handle cases of sexual assault. And I was interested to hear you say a little earlier that one of your concerns is that it doesn't take into account the complexities of life on college campuses. But do you see a better way? Is there some hybrid between a college tribunal and external law enforcement? I mean, I don't know. Are we sort of stuck with the system that we have?
I hope not. The secretary actually mentioned a number of ideas that have been put forth for alternative approaches to this. Interestingly, all of the examples that she shared came from attorneys, and that's an important voice, but it's not the only voice in this process.
One example she gave was about creating regional centers, right? And this would be a school would refer to the center any Title IX allegation that they believe would rise to the criminal level.
Right. And that's a great idea in theory, and I have tremendous respect for Gina Smith and Leslie Gomez, who have been talking about this idea for a number of years. The problem is that little thing that you said at the end about if it rises to a criminal case, it's not a bimodal situation where it's either a criminal case or it's not a case at all. Sexual assault, it occurs on a continuum. And at one end of the continuum is the kind of rape that is clearly, absolutely, unequivocally a criminal situation. But in a dean's office, in a student conduct office, in a counseling center's office, we are dealing with cases that might not rise to that level of a criminal misdeed.
Yeah, can you hold on there for a second, Lee? Because I want to get Colby to respond to that, because I think you're hitting on something, one of the many things, but something important that makes this so difficult and complicated. Because Colby, I mean, as Lee just said, there's a continuum, and even saying that, I know some people react very strongly to that and say, "No, assault is assault is assault." But what's your take?
I promise I will not jump across the table at you. That is the thing. I do believe that assault is assault is assault. Nevertheless, on college campuses, I know that people understand or people think that it gets murkier because there's alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. And that is the elephant in the room that everybody wants to talk about and no one knows what to do about it. It exists, and we discipline students for it, and we discipline students for other things while they were drunk. I think that when you are in front of a hearing panel, and I've been in front of many representing individual students, and you are talking to the victim, and the victim is giving the story and is giving it over and over again, and their witness accounts are fairly consistent, and then the alleged perpetrator comes up and gives three separate accounts and three separate writings, and the witnesses don't really know, I don't think that is a difficult thing to adjudicate. Because when you're talking about and you're looking at the evidence here and you're looking at what the stories are and the credibility factor, you can adjudicate that. So for me, the current system, needs some tweaking, but we have so many phenomenal building blocks in these guidances and so many opportunities. I mean, there's a whole list of colleges and universities that are under investigation now that have been under investigation for 4 and 5 years.
For Title IX violations.
For Title IX violations. Why not start publishing some resolutions to try to help people figure out some guidelines? Mm. It is rife with problems. Do not get me wrong, but I am not the person that will say that things get murkier when there's alcohol. I think that an individual person, when they are assaulted, they know exactly what happened to them. And there is no benefit to them for bringing forward a false allegation when they are actually a victim.
Well, we're fast running out of time here. And Lee Burdette Williams, I want to let you have one more crack at this here. Closing thought or response to what Colby said?
Well, I wish that all cases were as clear-cut as the one that Colby describes, where you have a perpetrator who is really uncredible and you have a survivor who is extremely credible. That's not always the case. Alcohol is not the only thing that causes murkiness. It's 18, 19, 20-year-olds engaged in sexual activity and relationships that are complicated and on a campus with enormous social pressures, all of that leads to murkiness. And, you know, I would ask, what if it's the opposite, where you've got a perpetrator whose story is absolutely consistent from start to finish, and someone who is accusing that perpetrator whose story changes? Is that not assault is assault is assault? Like, so to be in those hearings, to be trying to parse out what's going on with students, is way too complicated for a simple answer.
You know what I want to say? I want to say thank you to you both, because I do think that even in the complexity of this conversation, we get a feel as to why this is so challenging right now. And for better or for worse, the Trump administration says it's going to do something. So as the Department of Education moves forward with whatever it does on its guidance regarding a college sexual assault, we will have that conversation. We'll continue to do that. So for now, let me just say thank you to Lee Burdette Williams, former dean of students at Wheaton College at Norton in Norton, Massachusetts, joining us today from Vermont Public Radio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your paying attention to this very important and difficult topic.
And Colby Bruno, senior legal counsel at the Victim Rights Law Center in Boston. Colby, thank you as well.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.